Matthew 5, again, as you've been with us over the last several weeks, we've started a series entitling it, Take It Personal, and the personal responsibility of every Christian. Every Christian, every child of God ought to take it personally. Take it personal. We ought to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, if you will, and really take things on in our own responsibility. Our world today is a world that pushes the blame to others, doesn't it? Everything's someone else's fault. Everybody, woe is me. No, as Christians, we understand that. Now, Matthew 5, we went through it, and let me jump ahead. Let's go down to verse 43. Would you do that, please? Verse 43, for sake of time, I was going to read more, but let's go to verse 43, and then we're going to try and get into chapter 6 this morning. Okay, verse 43 of Matthew 5. Notice you have heard, it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, now notice this, a different authority from Jesus. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Boy, that sounds easy to do. It's hard, easy to do, but it's very hard to do, isn't it? Oh boy. You ever had to pray for somebody you didn't want to, and the Holy Spirit leads you to do that? You better pray for them, and then you try to tell the Holy Spirit what to do. Okay, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father. Who do you identify with? Now notice that. In this world, you identify with one or the other. There's only two. You don't straddle the fence. Who do you identify? Which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? But if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? I think one thing that hurts Christianity more than anything else is hypocrisy and the cliques that are in a church, right? It's, we're doing right, you're not. No. What's he say? You're just like them. But notice verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Okay, now clarification again of this. We went through a while back about the word perfect or perfection. Ms. Wilma, you brought that up this morning. Thank you. Thinking about that, the Bible term perfect doesn't mean sinless. Doesn't mean without fault. That's not what it means. That's how we've twisted the word today in our modern language. It means complete. You can be perfect with God, but not perfect behavior. Well, we know that because none of us have perfect behavior. I told one person, they were thinking about coming to our church. I said, come on, come to our church. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. We all messed up this week. We all sinned. We all had problems. Just come on. And that's what it is. You can have perfect heart with God, and yet not perfect behavior. David proved that, didn't he? The Bible says he is a man after God's own what? Heart. Perfect heart. Did he have perfect behavior? Nope. He messed up multiple times. He had a man killed. I hope none of you have done that. I mean, he took another man's wife. You think about what Noah did, Abraham did, Moses did, so on and so forth. So what he's saying is, again, have a completed heart. Be right with the Lord. You can be right with him. Okay, I wanted to finish that, but let's move on to chapter 6 here. I want to hit on this and try and get through it because I want to wrap it up next week in chapter 7 and be done. I never make it, but I'm going to try to. Okay, chapter 6, notice this verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now again, just a clarification. You say, Brother Tim, what in the world are you talking about? Alms is giving to the poor. In a lot of sense, it's giving in general. Now when the Jews used to go out and give, they would walk down the streets, and as you know, according to the gospel accounts, we find a lot of people on the side begging. Remember, blind Bartimaeus was one. He sat on the side of the highway begging. A lot of people begged. They were poor. And when they'd walk through, the Jewish elites would walk through, and they'd have a little horn with them, basically like a ram's horn. And when they'd give, they'd blow, doo-doo-doo-doo. So everyone knew, oh, he just gave to the, wow. And they all clap. Wow, that's wonderful. He says, don't do that. You remember the story Jesus gives? The little widow woman, they were one day, Jesus and his disciples were sitting in the temple. Amazing story. They're sitting there, kind of off to the side, and a little old lady walks in, hunched over, rags, very poor. She walks up to the front, and what they would do would have like a basically like a basket type thing in the front, just somewhat as what we do, and they'd give their money, their tithes. But she walked forward and she threw in a couple mites, which is basically pocket change. OK, Okay, chump change, we call it. And he said, fellas, did you see that? And they said, well, yeah, what's the big deal of that? Behind her comes other people that come. One guy, very wealthy, has his own business, other things, very well. He puts in much more money. But he says, did you watch the little widow woman? They said, yeah. He said, she gave more than all in this room. Now, they weren't very educated, but they knew basic math, and they said, that doesn't make sense. He said, she gave one of the most amazing statements in the Bible. He said, she gave out of her, what? Need. She gave out of, she needed that money to pay her bills, to go buy groceries. But note she did, she prioritized God. She prioritized God. And they were confused, and he thought for a minute, these individuals give out of their abundance. Shave a little bit off the top and give to the Lord. This widow woman came and said, before I pay any bills or do anything else, God is first. What if I don't have enough to pay the rest? God will take care of that. That's an easy concept to think of. It's hard to do, though. And God says, I want you to give. Now, when you give, don't do it to sound a trumpet. We have many people in our church, and praise God for you. You give anonymously because you don't want any praise of man, which is wonderful. We encourage to use our offering card just so you can designate it on there so we know how to disperse it properly. But many of you don't do that. And I think about that. There are people that give out of their heart. I don't want praise of man. I caught many of you come and do so much for our church through the week, and I thank you for that. But I've caught a couple of you here. And you know what these people say? I won't say any names because I'll embarrass them, but they always say this. You caught me. I was hoping you wouldn't catch me here. I was hoping I'd just get in and out. And I don't take that as an offensive thing. I take that as a praise. That's wonderful. They're saying what? I'm not here so you can, oh, there was brother so-and-so again. All that they do for, wow. You know? No. Why? Because you're more interested in God's applause than man's. Praise God for you. You're more interested in what God sees than what man sees. Okay, let's get into Brother Adam. This first, looking at these, we think about now as We give with a heart of compassion. We give out of a heart of what? Taking it personal. I want to do this for him. I want to encourage you in that. You take and prioritize God in your finances, you'll be amazed at what he'll do. Remember this statement. You will not and cannot outgive God. And you folks are nodding your head because you know that's true. You can't outgive him. You can give and give and give, meaning he will always bless. He will always bring it back on you. That's a principle of the Word of God. You cannot outgive him. Some people struggle in this area, and I want to encourage you. Anyways, let's keep going. He says next, verse 5, notice when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Why? They love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets. They may be seen of men. I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou prayest, shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. When thou pray, or ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Now, a lot of religions today, Jesus points out that they're heathenistic in the way they pray. A lot of religions repeat a prayer over and over again. You guys have studied any of that. I know you have. The Jewish individuals, Orthodox Jews in particular, today at Jerusalem, they stand at what's called the Wailing Wall. You ever seen that? You watched that before? They stand there and rock back and forth for hours on end, praying the same thing over and over, over and over, over and over. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want vain repetitions. I want you to pray. I want you to seek me. I've said this before, and I'll be careful about it, but praying is talking to God. That's all it is. You're just talking to the Lord. Now, be very reverent about it. Be very holy about it. Be very respectful about it. I heard one pastor, very liberal pastor, but he said, oh, I just get alone with God, and I talk to him like he's one of my buddies. And then that's not true. He's not your buddy, right? He's your God. He's Almighty, Holy God. You respect that. But when we pray, we talk to him. I want to encourage you, talk to God. Talk to God. One of the biggest problems in Christianity, in our lives and in my life in general, is a lack of prayer. I don't pray like I should. I don't spend enough time in prayer like I should. I've got a list mile long, but I rarely get to it. I fail to pray like I should. Now think about that. The prayer of a saint or a child of God is of utmost importance. If you are not a praying Christian, there's something wrong in your life. There's something off in your walk with God. Your prayer life ought to be of utmost importance. It ought to be. Not vain repetitions, but a prayer. Get alone with God. I want to encourage you with this. If you don't have a prayer request list, you need to make one. Just make a very simple one. Pray for people. Pray for people. Some of you are still praying for your grown adult children. Keep praying for them. The prayer of a what? Righteous man availeth much. Why do my prayers avail? That means being effective. Why is there no value behind it? Why is there no answer? Is there righteousness? So many people try to pray to God, but their lives are not where they should be. God is not going to use a dirty vessel. We clearly see that in the book of 2 Timothy. He desires to use what? A vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. That's what he wants to do. Are you righteous? Your prayers are, what the Bible says, your prayers literally fall to the ground. It's like your words just coming out and splatting on the ground. Your prayers go up. We studied this a little bit on Wednesday, but the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Fervency about it. Fervency. Have a fervency about that. We're going to look at this in a minute in a little more detail. But when thou prayest, notice he says in verse 6 again, enter into thy closet, shut thy door. The Jews, as you know this again, would walk about and pray in eloquent, waxing eloquent in their prayers. Loud prayers. They would literally, some of them, as they prayed, would scream almost to the top of their lungs their prayers. Why? So that others could be blessed by those prayers. I just wanted to bless you. You know, I hear that often. Thank you for that. Thank you. I had one fellow come and he said, I want to pray for you, brother. And he came and he went to put his hand on my head and I said, nope, don't touch me. No, thank you. I know he was trying to be a blessing, but I don't believe in that type of prayer. I said, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. There's a lot of loud, boisterous prayers being made today. We have people that stood at the White House and prayed these great prayers, prayed these great eloquent prayers. Didn't mean nothing, did it? What do we pray for? We pray in the closet. We get alone with God. And you ought to let nothing or anyone interrupt you in your prayer time. I'm sorry, honey, but can you watch the kids just for a little bit? Can you keep them out of the office? It's prayer time. I said this before, but a family that prays together stays together. A marriage that prays together stays together. It's so true. So simple, but true, isn't it? Our prayers, where are they at? Now, notice what he says. And we've studied this before. This is the model prayer. I won't go through it in detail, but let's look at it real quickly. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The reverence of God. Number one, as you start your prayers, lift up the name of Christ, the name of God. Start your prayer with, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Start it with that and end it with that. Because you need to clarify to whom or who you are praying to. Okay, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He is our go-between. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Pray for that. Pray for the return of Christ. Some people aren't ready for that. If you're not ready for that today, I want to take the Bible and show you how to be ready. Very simple. It'll be the greatest day in your life. Show you how to be prepared for that day. Some of you need to be warned of that. Our world needs to be warned of that. Jesus is coming back. Okay? And it's not going to be a good thing for a lot of people. I hope you're on the winning side. I hope you're on His side. You're not abiding in what's called the wrath of God. If you're unsaved this morning, you're abiding in what's the wrath of God. His wrath is over you, awaiting that day. Okay? But you ought to be praying for the kingdom. And you can know that and you can be ready for that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You ought to pray for the will of God to be done. Lord, I submit my will to you today. That's what I do. I submit my will to you. Some of you young people are trying to make decisions right now on where to go and what to do, what college to go to, what career to take, what path to do. I wouldn't take one step forward until you've sought the will of God. Lord, I want to, but I submit my will to yours. Why? Because it's the best thing you can do. And parents and grandparents, you know that. The safest place, the most fruitful place, and the most bountiful, rewarding place on planet Earth. Where is it? It's in the will of God. Do you know the will? You can, very simple, by submitting yourself to it. Jesus Christ in the garden said, not my will, but thine be done, as he approached that horrible day of the cross and the crucifixion. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Give us our daily, notice, bread, our needs, not our wants. Often I mix those two up. I make them synonymous. Lord, you know we need that. And the Lord says, no, you don't. Oh, yeah, I don't. I recently heard this, a missionary friend in South America. Their people have to walk to church. And the walk to church is about 3 miles of walking. So they got to leave pretty early to walk and get to church. And on the way to church, the drug cartels wait on the sides to do their thing, whatever they do. If you see the drug cartel people and they see you, you're a witness, and they'll go ahead and just take you out. They'll kill you, your kids, and everybody, and just throw you in the bushes because you'll identify them. So on the way to church, they're praying, not only can we make it to church, but can we not be killed today, Lord? And it's like pulling teeth to get some people just to come to church, ain't it? I thought about it. That's some dedication. Let's get up early. We got to be in church, honey. What about the drug cartels? What should we do? And these people don't have weapons. They have nothing. But church is so important to them, and the Word of God is so important, and I want to get there. What? I'm talking about our daily needs. Your needs are met. We clarify that. I don't have time. Let's keep going. Forgive our debts, verse 12. We forget our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Again, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So we're thinking through this now. We're working through. My prayer life, is it where it's supposed to be? My giving, is it where it's supposed to be? Now, verse 16, let's go here. Moreover, when you fast, notice this. Be not as the hypocrites are, sad countenance. They disfigure their faces. They may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When thou fast, notice thou, personal, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Notice that. Okay, now let me clarify something about fasting. It seems a little archaic and like not a lot of people do it these days, but it's very important to fast. Fasting is very important. Now, you can fast from other things. It doesn't have to just be food. A lot of people think that. It's food. I'll fast from food. No, it's fasting from other stuff. Social media, TV. Fasting is getting closer to God. Anything that comes in between you and the Lord. I have one dear friend on Facebook. Bless her heart. You always have to say bless her heart before you're about to be critical of somebody. Bless her heart. She posts about 15 things a day. You have a friend like that? I mean, you're going. And I made the joke. I said, boy, if she fasted from social media, people think she died. You know, what happened to you? You can fast from social media. You can fast from TV. You can fast from your work, right? Something like that. It's anything that comes between you and the Lord. And that's exactly what it is. Clarification again. The fasting is not to get an answer from God. Now, listen to this real quick, because people get confused. Fasting is not to get something from God. I'm going to fast and pray for it until God gives it to me. That's not biblical. Fasting is getting closer to God in order to know His will. Because when you get close to God and you fast and you say, God, I'm taking this very seriously, then He reveals His will to you. Because for many times in my life, I thought I was going to go down path A. And when I sat alone and got alone and fasted and got alone with the Lord, He revealed to me, I want you to go to path B. And that's what it is. Does that make sense? Right? It's always to get closer to the Lord. Now, He says, don't make it known. I can't tell you how many times. Again, let me caution you before I continue. Please be careful if you do fast. Don't fast for long periods of time, obviously, right? Use common sense. You can fast from breakfast. Now, be careful. You're going to get hangry, but you can fast from maybe lunch. You can fast from dinner. You can fast just short periods of time to start out with, right? Some of you know that. I tell you this, and I'll say it again. This is the devil at work. Every time I fast from food, nobody ever, ever, ever calls me to take me to lunch, except for when I fast. And I kid you not, last time I did it, somebody called me for lunch. And I saw the phone. I said, okay, so I answered, hello. Hey, what are you doing for lunch, Brother Tim? I said, well, nothing. I'm trying not to lie, you know, nothing. I wanted to take you out. I said, phew. And they wanted to take me somewhere nice. I mean, not just to get a burger. They wanted to go somewhere nice. And I thought, thanks a lot. You know, I said, can we do it tomorrow? No, tomorrow's not good for me. Oh, every time. That's true, though, isn't it? It's Satan at work. Now, remember this. What are we doing? Taking personal the things of God and saying, God, I want an answer from this. No. Oh, what are we saying? I want to get closer to you. I want to know your will. You are being ineffective in reaching some of your family members, as I am. I have beat my head against the wall over the last couple of weeks on how to reach one of my family members. I can't reach them. I mean, nothing works. I call them. I try to help them, try to reach them, try to do something. Hey, can we go to lunch? Hey, can we do something? I beat my head against the wall. I don't know what to do. I need to get alone with the Lord because I'm doing something wrong. Lord, show me the will of God. One pastor said, I fear that I have been successful without the help of the Holy Spirit. I fear that I've gone the wrong direction. although it's successful, although people see it as a good accomplishment, but I did it without the Lord's help. I didn't do it in the will of God. Have you been there? I've been there. And you know that. Okay, let's continue because I must wrap this up here. In verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Where what? Moth, rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Next one. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now again, we've studied this before. Your treasure. I said it, but please, don't get too attached to this world. Don't put your stakes down too deep into this soil. Why? We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And sometimes you go, Lord, how long will it be? Because it's hard. It's difficult. Anyone ever tells you life is easy? Get away from that person because they're lying to you. Get away. Life is difficult. Life is hard. It's even harder for the unsaved, rebellious, evil person. I'm telling you. The Bible says God is against the wicked. He's angry with the wicked every day. The way of a transgressor, a sinful person, is hard. That word hard carries with it granite. It's difficult. Everything is uphill. Everything's a battle. That's what it is. What is he saying? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. The things that corrupt, the things that things will happen to it, thieves break through and steal. I always think about that. Have you ever had something stolen from you? Yes, I know you have. I had a vehicle when I was a younger man. I have to say that now. That doesn't feel good. Younger man. And it was a nice car and I put time into it. I worked on it. It was a Mustang and I put time into it. I tried to work on it. I got a bunch of parts. Some of you guys, Brother Wes, you know, you go to Jegs, you know, order all this stuff. You got $10,000 sitting in your living room or whatever it is. I didn't have that much money, but I put all this time into it and I got it running really nice. And it was, you know, for a young teenage type of kid, it wasn't all that great, but I thought it was great, you know. And some guy, I must be very kind, he came in the middle of the night, stole it. And when he stole it, he couldn't get through the gate, so he rammed it through the gate. I mean, just tore it up. And he drove it, you know, stole it. And I woke up the next morning, I thought, where's my car? What in the world happened? And I filed a police report, called the insurance. You know, the insurance said, well, as insurance is, it's a little bit of your fault. It's about 20% your fault. I said, what in the world? I just parked it, you know. Anyways, the cops called, or the police called, about a month later. Said, hey, we found your car. I said, great, where can I pick it up? They said, well, you can come pick up the pieces. I said, the what? And down in the South Valley, they took it down to the South Valley. And we went, it was stripped to the frame. I mean, they took everything off of it. The tires, the wheels, the supercharger I had on it, all this. I was so mad. Doesn't that irk you? I mean, just frustrates the tar out of you. They steal from you. They take from you. And Jesus said, don't get too comfortable here. Don't put too much into this world because it's going to dissipate very quickly. I said it before. This building and about, I pray this building for the next, after all of us are gone, I hope somebody takes this over and they can continue the work here. But you know that. In 100 years from now, where are we going to be? This building might go dilapidated. This place will be gone. Will be gone. We get too caught up in things of this world, and I'm preaching to myself here, but it's true. He says those things, ladies, you've had very, very nice clothing, maybe a wedding dress or something you put in a closet and you take it out years later, there's the moth, they've eaten through it. You ever had that? The rust that corrodes and corrupts, those things that are there. And he says, be cautious, lay not up for yourselves these treasures. Jesus goes on to say in one portion, and they come to him and said, Lord, should we give to Caesar or not? Should we pay our taxes? Should we give to the government? That's a question still in debate today. And he gives an astounding response. He says what? Render unto Caesar things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. You know what people take that as? They go, oh, he's empowering Caesar. He's giving credit to Caesar. He's saying we should. No, he's not. He's limiting Caesar's power. You catch that? There's things you ought to render to Caesar. We got to pay taxes and other things. We do. We got to pray for those in authority. We know that. But he says, render to God the things that are God. Who he was speaking to were people that were not rendering the things to God. But they wanted to make it a point to try and embarrass Jesus. He says, you're not rendering anything to the Lord. You and I must understand that. We must lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We've got to work. We've got to save. We've got to do all of that. But we must be careful. Let me clarify again. People say, well, when should I stop obeying government? Again, when government and the Bible cross. We always obey the Bible. It's pretty simple, right? Now, there's coming a day, I believe very soon here, when they're going to start doing their stuff again. There's an election coming up. But they're going to do their thing. They're going to try probably to shut us down. They'll probably try and do some stuff like that. I have to be careful what I say behind the pulpit. I know that. But they're going to do their thing, and we know that. And what happens? When they do that, when it crosses, intersects, what do? I follow the Bible. I follow the Bible. I must follow the Bible. There's a dear lady, little old lady, and she ran a little mom-and-pop bakery. She made wedding cakes and danishes and pastries. Simple, little tiny bakery. And one day here came a couple, same-sex couple. You know, some of you know the story. And they said, we're having a wedding. We'd like you to do the cake. And she said, okay, that's fine. Here's what I charge and here's what I can do. She said, well, who's it for? They said, oh, it's for us. We're getting married. And she said, well, I'm sorry. There's other bakers in town you can go to. I would prefer not to do that. Well, why not? It's against what I believe. I just don't want to do that. Very kind, very sweet. She didn't throw a fit. Those people went out, ran right to their attorney and caused a big fit, called the ACLU and other things like that. Caused a big fit. This poor little lady who barely made any money, they ruined her business. She shut down today. Ruined. Completely ruined. Why? People said, well, what do we do in that situation? She chose to follow the Bible. She chose to follow the Word of God, which cost her her livelihood and everything else. That's the type of Christian I want to be. You think about, though, where is your treasure? What are you standing for? Okay, I must keep going. Now he continues this. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Notice verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either will he hate the one, love the other. He will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now mammon is that of materialism or money or other things. You can't do it. Just to clarify again, taking it personal. I want to take personal. There is no neutrality with Christ. Does that make sense? People often think that. There's a gray area here with Christ. Never. He says you're either with me or against me. There's a church at Laodicea, Revelation 3. You guys still awake? I'm almost done. The church at Laodicea. Thank you for listening so well. What's the church? You know what their motto was, their theme was? They had up on their banner at church? Laodicea Baptist Church. Underneath it said what? We're increased with goods and have need of nothing. How'd you like a church like that? That's where a lot of churches try to get to. It feels good to not have to worry about making the utility bill tomorrow for a church. It feels good. I like it. I like when we have money in the bank and we're able to pay the bills and take care of certain things. Man, that feels good. I would like that church motto. But is Jesus pleased with that motto? What's he say? Makes me sick. I want to spew it out. Because you're neither cold nor hot. You have need of nothing. My friends, we ought to come to the point where we say, God, you're enough. You're enough. Take no thought, verse 25, for your life. What ye shall eat or what ye shall put on. I must wrap it up. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. I love Jesus puts this all the time. He always gives an example. In another portion, he uses the word ravens. Consider the ravens. The ravens are the crows. You ever watch these crows? Fascinating. They're weird. The crows, I sat at my house the other day just watching them. They come over here in the field after it's mowed, and they sit and they just walk around and eat the seeds and other things. Crows are weird, man. They're called a mimic bird. They're part of the mimic bird family where they can copycat. Have you ever seen these things? Now, I don't know about ours. Ours are kind of redneck, but ours are kind of those hillbilly crows. Because I watched them one day in the trees, and they were talking to each other, you know, making weird noises. I promise I wasn't on anything. Okay, and they're weird birds. And Jesus says, consider the ravens. Okay, what do you want me to consider? Watch them. That word consider, you ought to look it up in your Bible. Very interesting. Consider, to think about, to stop and think about it. He says, consider Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint. When we start to faint and get weary and get tired of coming to church and get tired of going through the same junk day after day, we stop, think, and consider what Christ did. Christ, what he endured, it puts a little pep in our step. Man, what Christ went through, boy, that's nothing. We're having a little marital problem. Okay, let's work. Okay, having financial problems. Okay, having a little bit of problems with the kids or whatever the case is. We keep going. Why? Well, because of what Christ did. But consider. He says, consider. Think about it. They don't do anything. I provide. Poor little bunny rabbit gets hit by your truck. Oh, you feel bad about it, but then you think, well, that was God's divine work, providing for the crow, providing for these things. You think now, he's saying, I'll take care of you. Are you not much better than they? I'll take care of you. So many Christians today are so caught up and trying to get what they can all they get, sit on the can so no one can get it, right? This is mine. Don't touch it. Oh, my friends, Jesus said, if you take it personal, if you follow what I've told you to do, I'll take care of you. I'll supply your needs. Again, what God do you serve? Little God? Little faith? Step out by faith. God's leading some of you to do something by faith and you've not done it yet. Little God, little faith. Step out by faith. He'll catch you. I watched that. So funny. You know the test where you cross your arms and your friends are supposed to catch you? You've seen all those funny videos where they fall back and they just let the guy fall. Or the one guy, the two guys were holding their arms together and he fell back. And when he hit their arms, they came and hit heads together. I thought about God. You can trust God, okay? You can fall back. You can trust him. He'll take care of you. God, the psalmist puts this, as he laid on his back out staring at the stars. He says, God, you own the gold in every mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Does God not own everything? He's allowing you, he's letting you borrow his money. He's letting you borrow what you have today. He's giving you every beat in your chest. You don't control one heartbeat in your chest. He gives it to you. He gives it to me. Isn't that wonderful? Give it to him. Lord, you're allowing me to manage this body. You're allowing, the Bible term is steward, to steward it, but it means management. I'm managing this body, not done a very good job. I'm managing this family, not very good job at times. I'm managing this position. I'm managing what you've given me. How are you doing? If you had to answer to the CEO tomorrow, how would you do? How would your report look? Not very good for me. God says, take it personal. I'll take care of you. Verse 28, let's wrap this up, shall we? Take no thought for your raiment. That's your clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. He says, they're not fancy. They're not mechanical. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You ever seen a lily? Beautiful. You ever seen a field of them? Oh, gorgeous. Very gorgeous. Solomon was not arrayed in like one of these. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, tomorrow was cast into the oven, it withers, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, notice the Gentiles seek. That's unbelievers. That's what they seek after. The world tomorrow, Monday morning, is going to work tirelessly for another dollar. Another day, another dollar. That's what it is. But seek ye first, and let's close out, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things shall be added unto you. Notice this. The last thing I want to say is the prioritization of God. You prioritize him. Put him first in everything you do. Put him first. Again, easy to say, hard to do. It takes some reminding. It takes some energy. It takes some motivation. We find all of that right here in the book. Not only your prayer time ought to increase. Let me say this, Bible. You need a Bible. You don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible today. We have them in the back. You need to get in this book. You need to get in this book. You need to spend daily time in this book. I know I sound like a broken record, but I want to encourage you with that. If nobody else encourages throughout the week to be in the Bible, I hope Pastor Tim does. Get in the book. You will be changed. You'll be transformed, the Bible says. You'll be moved, motivated to action. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Seek his righteousness. Everything else God will do. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. That's exactly what he's saying. Today, can I encourage you? I must wrap it up. We must take it personal. Take it personal. Your walk, your prioritization under those things, prayer, fasting, seeking God's will, your alms, your giving, all of that. Nobody will answer for you at Judgment Day except you, right? Nobody. We have to take it personal. What will I say when I get to the judgment? Because it will be me and the Lord alone. I don't know the setting, the Bible doesn't say, but I believe we will come into some type of room where it will be just me and the Lord. Nobody to mouth off in the back. Nobody there to say, well, Lord, Peter at the end, when Jesus, before he ascended back into heaven, he came to tell Peter a bunch of stuff to do, right? And Peter looks at John and says, well, what about him? What are you going to tell him? Jesus said, that's not up to you. I want you to take what I've told you personally and apply it and live it. Don't worry about John. Too many people today are worried about what other people are doing. I'm worried about what other people think. I'm worried about what people say about me. Forget all that. You're going to have a critic in your life until the day you die. If you want a critic and you're short on critics, Just step out by faith. Do something for the Lord. Start being faithful to church. Start reading your Bible. Start living for God. You'll get a bunch of critics. The way of a Christian is not easy. We follow the Lord. They hated me, Jesus said, they're going to hate you. But listen, you can do it. You can do it. Now is not the time to put it in neutral. Remember that. You and I don't have a lot of time left. We don't. Now's not the time to put her in neutral and just coast. Okay, I went to church, check. I'll pray, check. Or, no, it becomes a lifestyle, doesn't it? It's now time to shift it in gear and let's keep going. The day is approaching, Jesus said. Be faithful. Okay, I must stop there. We're going to continue next week in chapter 7 and looking at this. The greatest sermon ever preached on planet Earth is this sermon right here, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. You ought to read it. Read it this week again. It'll challenge your heart. It'll challenge your heart. And the Bible says at the very end of this message, the people were astonished at his doctrine, at his words. Why? Because he preached as a person who has authority. If Jesus gave us authority to do it, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. You can do it. And you can be successful. A successful Christian in this life. Okay? We'll continue next week. I thank you for listening so well today. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for again this morning. I praise you for the opportunity to preach the word. These people are so faithful to listen. Lord, I pray you'd help us. We need your help. I can't thank you for these folks here today. They're faithful. They love the Lord. They're here. As I said earlier, we're just sinners saved by grace coming together in your wonderful mercy. I pray you'd help us today. If there's someone in this room today that knows you not as their personal Savior, if they would say, if I were to die today or tomorrow, that's hard to think about, but it's a possibility. Would I go to heaven or would I be eternally separated from Christ? I pray that they'd make that decision today and I could take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Very easy. I thank you for those here that are saved, that are living for you. I pray you'd strengthen us, God, as a church and as a family. Lead us now into a new week. We thank you in Jesus' name.